Gimme the loot indeed. What's up, everybody? This is Jay Shilly here, and I'm kicking off the beginning of a three-part series podcast called Federalism in a Nutshell. Today's topic is to explain how societal needs affect the constitutional allocation of power between the national and state governments. And guess what? I have some guests with me today, with Duncan McNeil and Matt Selecki, both experts on the topic. Hello, gentlemen.
Hello, Jay.
How's it going?
So, as you may or may not know, our government is one that can be called a federalist government. This means that there's a split of power between the national and state governments. However, there are many different forms of government across the world. There are unitary systems, like Canada, where almost all the power is given to the central government. The opposite of this is a confederal system, like the European Union, where power is given to the states rather than the national government. On today's episode, I'm going to talk to our guests about how our government came to be this way and what factors affect it. To start off, I'm going to ask Duncan a question here. Duncan, can you explain to me what the exclusive powers of the national and state governments
are? So exclusive powers are the powers granted by the Constitution to the federal government. The federal government is the only government that can practice and use these powers. State and local governments have no authority over the national government when it comes to these powers. These powers are the right to regulate trade between countries and states, the right to levy tariffs, coin money, maintain an army, and declare war. However, there are concurrent powers that the national and state government are both granted. Some examples are the power to tax, borrow money, establish courts, and charter banks. There are also reserve powers belonging to states, like conducting elections, controlling interstate commerce, and establishing local governments and implied powers, which basically give the national government the ability to do anything as long as it is necessary and proper, Jay.
Thank you, Duncan. So, Matt, I'm going to swing it on over to you. So, can you tell me what the importance of these powers in politics is today?
Oh, absolutely, Jay. These powers are essentially the basis of government today. They create a balance of powers not just between the three branches of government, but between the national and state governments. All the types of powers Duncan described have turned our government into one that sees both dual and cooperative federalism. Dual federalism is when the national and state governments are completely separate from one another in their own spheres. The national government does one thing while the state does another. This can be described as a layer cake where each government has clear-cut objectives.
Clear-cut what, Matt? Can you please keep going for our listeners on air?
They're so intrigued right now.
All right, that's my apologies. The national government does one thing while the state does another. This can be described as a layer cake, like I said earlier, where each government has clear-cut objectives and powers. Cooperative federalism is like a marble cake. The national and state governments are somewhat intertwined because they can share powers and policy assignments. Over time, the United States has become more of a cooperative federalism rather than when it was more dual federalism at the outset of the U.S.
Thank you, Matt. If you're just tuning in now, this is Federalism in a Nutshell. A three-part series podcast, and this is Jay Shilly speaking today with guests Duncan McNeil and Matt Selecki.
Howdy.
So let's continue. A major point of government is that it is always working in a way to support the societal needs of its people. It flows between the ideals of both dual and cooperative federalism, depending on what the political agenda is and what must be accomplished by the national government and by state governments. Duncan, can you speak to how societal needs can affect the government so much?
Of course, my man. There are many ways that the national government works to collude with state governments, such as shared costs, federal guidelines, and shared administration. Shared costs is when a local or state government decides to work on a major project, like an airport or other programs important to many people and the federal government. The federal government will give money to the project if the state also puts money into the project. Federal guidelines are when the national government wants a project done in a state, like highway projects. So the federal government gives the money to the state to do the project as long as the state is following other guidelines, like the drinking age, which is 21. Shared administration is when the national government gives money to states for a broad category like labor, and it is up to the states to figure out how to split the money within the labor category, Jay.
Right, thank you. And when powers are left to states and not stated as national government powers in the Constitution, like speed limits and drinking age, then it is up to the states to decide how to handle and oftentimes how to handle these issues, and oftentimes these issues end up in the hands of Congress by different people, and Congress tries to influence decisions one way or another. Matt, I'd like you to talk a little more about the relationships between national, state, and local governments and how they are affected by our population's desires and needs.
Sure, absolutely, Jay. A major way governments money to state governments is through grants and aids. The two major ones are categorical grants and block grants. Categorical grants are given for a specific purpose. The two types of categorical grants are project where money is given to a specific institution based off of merit, and the other is formula grants where a state or local government is given money based on some formula. That could be about money per capita or rural and urban populations. Block grants are a lot less specific. There is some amount of federal money given to state governments that then choose to distribute the money in broad programs like community developments. The national government can also issue a mandate where states are given money, but it comes with the federal authority to ensure that their money is being used well.
These ways that the national government gives money to the state and local governments is the basis of how there is a balance of power between the two. If society needs more money for a certain project, then the federal government can step in and deal with it, or give money to a state government and let them take the lead on the situation. This is where we see fluctuation between dual and cooperative federalism in our government because of what the population needs at that specific time. Well, there you have it, folks. That's all we have time for on part one of this podcast. Make sure you tune in for part two next week of Federalism in a Nutshell. And remember, on this podcast, it doesn't matter if you're a fascist, a communist, or anywhere in between. We're all just trying to learn about the federal system running our country. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.